We also had Homeland Security do a review of our facilities, and you guys, you know what I'm talking about with that. So they came through and were like, this is a disaster, Homeland Security. In fact, on election day, I had them come on election day. It was a quiet election, but they were here. And some guy was trying to, dressed in camo, face to toe, he couldn't see his face, was trying to get into our office. And so the report ended up saying, we really need a new facility. We need a secure facility with one entrance. You know who's coming in and out. So that's when we started to go. The county board was like, yes, you need a new building.
The full and free exercise of our sacred right and duty to vote is more important in the long run than the personal hopes or ambitions of any candidate for any office in the land.
You're listening to High Turnout, Wide Margins, an insider's look at election administration hosted by Brianna Lennon and Eric Fay.
Back at another exciting episode of High Turnout, Wide Margins. I'm Eric Fay, Director of Elections in St. Louis County, Missouri, with my co-host,
Brianna Lennon, County Clerk for Boone County, Missouri.
And today our guest is
Scott McDonald, Dane County Clerk. Dane County is Madison, Wisconsin.
Scott, thanks so much for being our guest on this episode. And as we kick off pretty much every episode, tell the listeners how you came about to be in elections. What's your election origin story?
Yeah, mine's a little different, I think. I started out running for county board when I was still in college. So don't ask me why I decided to do that, but I ran. I won by 6 votes in a recount. And it was a good race. It was close, basically campus area, if you think of Madison, Wisconsin. And proceeded to serve on the county board for like 20 years. And that, our county board is a large county board. We have 37 members and it's part-time. So I had another job working for the state in IT. After a time, I moved up to different spots in the county board and became county board chair. And I did that for 8 years. And that's sort of where I came from, was the county board, not from, you know, municipal clerk or something else. And when the county clerk position opened up here, a lot of the duties of the county clerk are in service to the county board. There's a huge amount of overlap on that. As you guys know, county clerks do all kinds of stuff, not just elections. That's kind of how I got into it. I knew a fair amount about elections, but I hadn't been an election official other than being a poll worker. So that was the part I had to learn. And now I've been clerk for 12 years, and I'm the only one to do 2 presidential recounts.
I do want to back up just a little bit and give you a chance to tell us a little bit about your county and your role in it. And in particular, Wisconsin and your neighboring state, Michigan, like to run elections at the kind of hyper-local level. So can you explain to the people listening, do you run the elections for everything in the county, or do you have to work with all these smaller municipal clerks, or how does that work?
Yeah, it's a good question, because you're right. Michigan, Wisconsin are, if you could have an org chart and you would push it down as far as possible so it's almost flat, that would be Wisconsin. But the county clerk sets up the party, and then the municipal clerk throws the party, and then we clean up the party. You know, we do all the coding. We purchase the ballots. We get the election media out. Then the municipalities are the ones who are hiring the poll workers and running it on election day. And then we get the results. We post the results. We do canvas. We store the ballots. So it's just sort of this hand. It's sort of like a check of balance. It goes back and forth.
I know we're jumping around, but I really want to talk about the brewery. So people that have not been following Dane County news, I'm sure everybody has, you're in the process of kind of moving election facilities into this space that was previously used as a brewery. But can you talk a little bit about how that process worked and how you came to the conclusion that you would need this space for upcoming elections?
Yeah, so I'll back up a little bit. Right now, both the city of Madison is like half of the population of Dane County. And we share a building called the City County Building here, where my office and the city clerk are in it. And above us are hundreds of beds, jail beds. We've had water come down here multiple times. The building is a sieve as far as people coming in and out of it. It's not It's not ideal. The courthouse is separate, so that has weapon screening. This doesn't. So this is just not the best setup for any of us. Election-wise, it's just a big county building with a lot of different offices in it. In fact, Madison stored their DS-200s, their equipment, all of their auto marks, and now their express votes, in a basement of a strip mall in probably the lowest part of the city. And amazingly, it flooded out. And then they put them back in there, and they flooded out again. That is like half the county's equipment keeps getting flooding out, in part because people around here really didn't take it very seriously. So between, you know, having a building that wasn't terribly safe and equipment getting flooded, and then we started getting, you know, after 2020, a lot of threats. The city of Madison clerks got very specific death threats. So that led me to create a task force on election security to look at our needs. And we were able to bring the sheriff, local clerks. The University of Wisconsin has a department on that studies elections. So one of their professors chaired the committee. And then as part of that, we also had Homeland Security do a review of our facilities. And you guys, you know what I'm talking about with that. So they came through and were like, this is a disaster. Homeland Security. In fact, on Election Day, I had them come on Election Day. It was a quiet election, but they were here. And some guy was trying to, dressed in camo, face to toe, he couldn't see his face, was trying to get into our office. And so the report ended up saying, we really need a new facility. We need a secure facility with one entrance. You know who's coming in and out. So that's when we started to go. The county board was like, yes, you need a new building. And with that, you know, all of our equipment is all over the place right now. I mean, a small town hall with one room has got their DS-200 and ballots and poll books and everything in there. It's not what you would have. Anyone can go in and out of there from the town board and everyone else. So that was the idea behind, let's get a central building. I know we are a very decentralized kind of government here in Wisconsin, but we can do it cooperatively and create that setup. I mean, Madison's loading their ballots in the rain right now. They can't pull a truck in to anywhere. So then we started looking at a new build, new construction, and the costs were crazy for that. I mean, new construction right now, at least in Wisconsin, is not good. So we took a shot at trying to find some buildings that might match. You know, finding a 45,000 square foot building, which is what our architect identified, not the simplest thing, but there was a brewery that was only like, I mean, I want to say old brewery, it's only like 11 years old. We have a lot of breweries around here. And it was a really nice space. I remember going there when it opened, and we were lucky, and we were able to get it at a good price.
So moving the election office, or at least part of it, to a brewery seems just like that's peak Wisconsin right there, doing something like that. So are you going to maintain any kind of brewing operations for the benefit of the poll workers or anything like that, or you're just abandoning it completely?
Well, actually, when I got there we did a press conference there. In my memory, the bar was still there. And maybe I just put it in my mind because I've been there before. I get there, it's gone. And part of that, I'm like, oh man, I thought this was still here. Because I thought after 2024, we're going to want to have a bar in there or leave a bar in there. But someone took it and sold it off or whatever. But that also meant I had no podium because that was going to be my podium for this press conference. There was nowhere to put a microphone. So we literally went there into the warehouse and brought three empty kegs out and stacked them for our podium. Like that was our podium. Not just because that was it. And I was like, oh, that's what clerks do. We just make it work, figure it out.
So, and Eric may have his own thoughts on this too, because Eric's office is in an old mall. So I feel like he probably can resonate a lot with that. But for a lot of us that are in smaller counties that we don't always have support, or like you said, people weren't taking it seriously. You created the task force to do those things. What do you find was the most compelling to get people on board with understanding the needs for your department?
Yeah, I think it's when I engaged my sheriff, and actually the previous sheriff and now the current sheriff have both been really good, but the previous sheriff I had known Mahoney for a long time, and I brought him in. The sort of the kickstart of it is I did a few security improvements on my own we put up some plexiglass, we put some cameras up, things that were inexpensive, like that, some panic buttons and things. But then I, you know, when I was talking to the sheriff about it and he walked through, when he was in our server room, he's like, this should be at an evidence locker level of security instead of whatever you have right now. And he was kind of appalled by where things stood. And we sort of looked at some of the city of Madison's problems too. And I think he was a really strong advocate that helped everyone realize, okay, we need to take this seriously. And also just the attacks in general, you know, that were going on, especially at Madison, but around the state, you know, toward some of the things that were going on in Milwaukee and Green Bay, the residents in this county were kind of, I haven't had any pushback. But that's reflective of the fact that the residents here feel very strongly about protecting election workers. They just do. So in smaller rural counties, that what I would think, and this Dane County's 600,000, but it's kind of urban. It's got some rural to it. But, you know, they're like, yes, that happens, but that's in the big city. Like, you guys are fine. Like, no one's, like, we're small enough, everyone knows each other. But that's not how it works. It's lightning. You don't know where it's going to hit. You don't know where the, you know, gateway pundit article is going to land. You have no idea. And that's what I try to tell clerks around the state in Wisconsin. Like, don't think this is just happening in Dane County. The things that happened with the whole Dominion conspiracy theory started in a rural county in Michigan.
So I think you mentioned your new building. You might be allowing some of the municipalities to use it as well for some of their things. Did I understand that correctly? So how did that come about? Is there cost sharing involved? And then maybe you could explain a little bit more about what all the hoped for uses of this building will be once, you know, you're in there and you got everything going.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, it would protect the city of Madison election staff and the county election staff so they have a safe work environment. I think we don't feel that way now. So that's kind of the number one thing. Two, we have a climate-controlled, modern, you know, warehouse where we can store, you know, all the equipment, all the things that go into election day. You guys know what I'm talking about, which we don't have right now. I think initially it will be all of Madison will be there, and then the electronic equipment, maybe not every single DS-200, but vast majority of them. It's easier to service them. It's easier to do everything in one location. And then having that modern fire suppression and everything as part of that. So thinking of like half the county will probably just have their equipment there, and then the other half, the Madison, will have everything there. But, you know, just the ability to have the ballots delivered directly to our warehouse, sort them, and then, you know, we still have to do some planning about how we're going to get things out. We're probably going to have to figure out how to do forklifts and trucks and all these things we don't really do now we'll have to do, like the regular counties around the country do, but we're so decentralized, we haven't. As far as, like, charging, we'll charge Madison for having their actual employees working out there and work out the square footage, which we do all the time. I think we have formulas for that, and I'm not too worried about that. But otherwise, I'm going to try to avoid charge back, because otherwise the incentive is to not use it. And we don't want that incentive. We want the incentive to be, sure, you can bring all your stuff in here. We'll put it on a cart. We'll lock the cart. It'll have a cage. You can pick it up, or we can deliver it. And it's all easy peasy. You know, you don't want to create a new burden for some. I mean, for us, we have clerks who work 15 hours a week. And they have a whole nother full-time job, and you can't be giving them more stuff to do. It won't work.
Hi, I'm Brianna Lennon, County Clerk for Boone County, Missouri. And you're listening to High Turnout, Wide Margins, a podcast where we explore local election administration. I've never even embarked upon an office restructure to, like, change walls in my office. What has it been like to try to figure out for a project this big? How has it been working with an architect? What have you been finding have been the biggest challenge?
We hired Wald Architect, and they out of Chicago. Initially, we were very much like, we want to hire an architect who's done an election facility somewhere before. One thing I will say is all of us, There are similarities everywhere, obviously, but there's a lot of things that are not similar. We do not do signature verification, which is a big deal. It's a big process, not there. Equipment, not there. So there's things we that are pretty different about Wisconsin. We ended up hiring someone who hadn't really done any, but they've been great. They did government. So they had done a lot of different government projects where they were reimagining a clerk of courts or whatever, you know, different projects like that. And we found they've been great. Part of it is just spending the time comparing. We went on visits to Tampa, to Maricopa, to Cook County, just to see their layouts, try to learn from, you know, how, what, you know, mistakes they made, pick up little, you know, it's funny, you try to focus in on little things like how are they storing their sticks or, you know, what kind of card are they using? How much is that? Where'd you get it? And just those kind of little details, but trying to get the workflow down, and we're actually not even there yet. So it is daunting even to this point, but it's going to be another 2 years of this where we are remodeling and trying to figure out the workflow. We plan on using the floor as our recount. So we also want to look at how we can structure a recount where the ballot and the poll books and the flow goes, and we could allow the public in for that. So that's a whole nother process that's got to figure out how to do that safely and efficiently.
I just am constantly trying to figure out how to embark on a project like that without having like guaranteed funds for each of those years and everything else.
Yeah. I mean, like the money was approved. Fortunately, it looks like the whole project will fit in the money that was allocated last year because we're remodeling instead of building new. So, and in some ways we look great because everyone else's projects are way over. But you know, part of that is getting the help that you need as far as, you know, the architects, setting up a clerk committee to try to help you think through problems, and then visiting other places, because there's nothing better than that. I mean, it takes time, it costs a little money, take a lot of pictures, delete them when you're done, you know. But I don't know. You know, it makes the job interesting. And you know how it goes. I mean, we'll have this year is going to be bad, but then the year after that, there's no fall election. We'll have time to work on it.
I really thought it was a great idea that you went to different places around the country to check out their facilities and take inspiration from that. I think that's something many, if not most, election offices would like to do. And I'm curious, did you already have money in your budget to do that? How did you accomplish it? And if you were talking to, if there was somebody listening that was like, oh man, I can't afford to go to Tampa to look at their warehouse, how would you persuade them to maybe, you know, move resources around to do something like that?
Yeah, I think it's really important to do that, because you really don't know what you don't know. Honestly, it's important. I guess if I were thinking, okay, you have a, I try to sympathize, like our economy's growing, we have money coming in, unlike a lot of places. So I think of a county that maybe has a flat levy and they really don't have money and people are getting laid off. And so it's a big ask to say, oh, I want to go to Tampa. Oh, sure, you want to go to Tampa. So, I actually, at one point I was looking at, well, where can I drive to? So Cook County was drivable, Hennepin County, you know, there are places that we went to Cook, we ended up not going to Hennepin, but like we went, can you find places that where you can just load a van and learn from that? You know, there are like Hillsborough County where Tampa is, the clerk there actually does a video tour on his website. I use that. I'm like, see, look at that. Look at those cages. And look at the electrical running down where he can plug in all his machines at once. And all of his poll books are all lined up perfectly and everything off the ground. And I'm like, this is what I'm talking about. So, you know, there may be things you can find online that can be helpful too. But just walking through and seeing it and getting a sense. And then also seeing like, okay, then they add, I mean, like someplace like Tampa, they built it, then they had to add on. And so can you try to get ahead of the layout? And what would happen if you had to expand it so you're not screwing some future county clerk really bad, which is what I worry about.
So when it comes to like a a recount, and you as the county official, you're kind of left holding the bag in those situations where the legislature is so contentious. Do you approach that situation any differently than you may have in the past? I mean, do you make an extra effort to be more transparent or have more observers there, or perhaps less because they're going to be confrontational, like you mentioned at the outset?
Yeah, I mean, once we get going on the recounts, I mean, we try to include everybody in explaining how it works and accommodating them. I know in the 2020 recount, we had it at Monona Terrace, this large convention center, and we spent the money to have a large area for observers to be able to go and just get briefed by their own side and get water and get instructions. And then we tried to like accommodate people's schedules. And once you get the first day or two were not great, but then when you get into it, it's like, well, you start to trust each other. It went okay after that. And we try to, you know, we do a good job. And so people can see that they know that they can see, like they hear things and then they come in and it's not true. You know, we won't be able to see the ballots. We're too far away. And then they get there, like, actually, I can see them. It's fine. They'll hear something and then you explain it to them. Like, I remember one, we were looking at an envelope and it was clear. It was very, they objected to an envelope. They said, this ballot should get tossed. And when I said, so you can tell that this person is really old and that X is just all they can write, probably because of arthritis. And I started showing them all the like hints that that's probably it. And they just withdrew their objection. And, you know, once it becomes small and they can see it and it's a little more personal, it changes people's attitude.
So this goes back to something else that you were saying, but I thought it was really interesting, how you were characterizing using the space, like kind of subsidizing some of the smaller cities and towns that need to use it, because like the greater good is that the space needs to be used. It benefits everybody and you should be doing it. How have you seen any of your relationships with the cities and towns change as some of the political nature that you were just talking about has changed? Have you had any, the most blunt way of saying it is, has any election deniers taken any of those positions and made your job harder?
Oh, yeah, no, that's not happened. Actually, not a single county clerk in Wisconsin, 72, are election deniers. No one in my county. So that hasn't happened. I think there can be tension because all these municipalities have a relationship with the county, and not all the time is it positive. Like, you guys know what I'm talking about. And so that can play like, oh, sure, you're not charging us for this. Just wait 2 years. And I've been like, no, we're not. No. And I went to the Towns Association meeting. I know I've known some of these people there for 30 years. I'm like, no one's going to charge you for this. You guys know me. And before I told you when we did the interoperable radio that we were going to charge you, and we did. And it's the same amount it is now. Now we're not. So you try to leverage your relationships you've had in the past and explain like your rationale, because sometimes people say, well, you're just saying that. I'm like, well, no, here's the motive. The motive is it's not in our interest for you guys to bail. So trust that. But yeah, I think it's more wrapped up in the relationships that already exist, good and bad.
You've been listening to High Turnout, Wide Margins, a podcast that explores local election administration. I'm your host, Eric Fay, alongside Brianna Lennon. A big thanks to KBIA for making this podcast possible. Our managing editor is Rebecca Smith, our managing producer is Aaron Hay, and our associate producer is Katie Quinn. This has been High Turnout, Wide Margins, and thanks for listening.